To Cocktail Corner.
Right in.
You're listening to Cocktail Corner on 95 BFM.
Got a very special edition of Cocktail Corner this evening, coinciding with a wetter reissue of Geographica. Welcome to the BFM studio, Clinton.
How you doing?
Tell you what, there's a lot of records getting reissued these days, and a lot of them I could probably do without, but this one, very keen on this one.
Well, we've got somebody here that can see what they can do about that, I think.
Oh, no. I mean, like, for the greater good as well as for me, obviously, but...
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. We never thought that we'd see the... I guess when you're in a band, you kind of think about what or where that might lead to, but having the record or a record on vinyl was never sort of part of the roadmap.
Right.
I guess that's partly because back then they just didn't really do much vinyl.
Yeah, it wasn't.
There was some done, but the weirdest thing has been, like, this time around is that we've just done the album on vinyl, the remaster reissue. And now retail's asked for it on CD.
So do you give them the remaster, or do you just go, look, we've already got CD?
We were like, well, okay, so we've made this kind of remaster of the record, and we've made this of Geographica with a deluxe digital version with a whole bunch of new songs on it, or old found kind of stuff. And
because you can, like, a bit more long form on the CD.
Yeah. We've released that over digital channels as well, or at least all of that's coming out tomorrow. The vinyl, we've kept it exactly as it was 20 years ago. Last year, the lead singer from the band, lead singer and kind of musical vision of the band, passed away suddenly. And so we wanted to keep it as a representation of his memory.
Fair.
Right on. How did the sort of the remastering process work out for you guys?
I'm not going to ask that. That's a good question, though.
So we had to. We've lost the masters.
So
when we did the record, we recorded it at this incredible studio in Melbourne called Sing Sing, and it was recorded on to thick 2-inch tape. And at the time, the producer of the record was a guy called Steve James, and I don't know if you've ever heard of the song by Monty Python, Always Look on the Bright Side.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
He produced that.
Oh snap.
And he produced the Sex Pistols, or worked with the Sex Pistols.
Shit.
And he did the Teletubbies.
You gotta get work where you get work.
Yeah, and so what we did was we just didn't really tell people he did the Teletubbies, you know.
It's all sound.
He did the Manic Street Preachers, and so like we were really kind of sold it. But he's an amazing guy in general. So, and he was just totally analog the whole time. His vision was to get that record onto vinyl like we have now.
Great.
So anyway, he gets on the phone and he starts talking to people, and he's just trying to track down the one-inch masters that we mastered the record down onto.
Right.
So that we've got the original, so that we can then track that to digital and do that. Mm. And we just couldn't find it anywhere. So I had to go on to Discogs and spend $140 to buy a copy of Geographica to send it over to Steve so that he could download it in the right file format. And then him and a guy called Matt in Brisbane got in, Pro Toolsed it, and really have brought it to life. Like, they've done this really amazing job of making it sound so much better.
If it makes you feel any better, you do technically have to do a different master for vinyl. So at the end of the day, you would have had to do... And the other hard thing about that is getting the right tape machine to do all that stuff as well. Like,
it's an art form.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And especially with analog gear, you know.
It took ages, you know.
Sounds surprised.
Yeah. And in that process, like, we were fighting with COVID the whole time as well. It's like, okay, it's going to take an extra 6 weeks to get over from Australia. And then so we had a release date late last year. That got pushed out because the company that pressed the records, one of their machines broke down, and they had to get one over from Europe.
So this is all in the pipeline while Aaron was still alive?
No, so Aaron actually started the project earlier last year with a text message to Gabba saying, let's do 20th re-anniversary, And then Gabba texted me and said, you know, what do you know about the contract? And then Aaron passed away. So the remaining members of the band, there's myself in Wellington and Tookie and Gabba in Melbourne. We got together and we're like, look, we've got to do this.
We've got
to do this for the memory. And it's at opportune time. And then basically Warner New Zealand came on board and said, we would love to help out. Right. And it's just been a labour of love for all of the people that we worked with 20 years ago, including Steve James, who got the chance to remaster it. Ruben Sutherland, who was an award-winning video producer, who did our first two videos for Let It Go and Got the Jew, and has now recently done the latest video for So Far So Close, the single. Bart Borghese, who did the Calling On video. It's been an amazing group of people getting together to
somewhat
to celebrate
of a reunion.
This. Yeah. Just and actually, I've never seen any songs chart in my whole career as or my short career as a musician where I didn't have to pick up the drums. So it's very efficient.
Yeah. Should we play one off Geographica?
Yeah, shit.
This is kind of your call, Clinton. You decide on what you'd like to hear.
Let's have a look at the list.
We got Snapshot, here. Let It Go, Calling On, Got the Jew.
Let's
So Far So Close.
I tell you what.
That's the Chemical Brothers song.
Let's start with the Chemical Brothers song. let's start with Calling On. Let's do the classic.
We'll be right back with a cocktail from the drummer of this band. We'll be right back.
Hey, nice drums.
Oh, cheers, bro.
Mean drums, bro.
Can you tell us a bit about that session? How quickly, because you're saying it was recorded in Australia.
That was.
Did you knock it out?
You're talking about the session that Aaron had to have before we recorded it.
Yes, please.
He had, yeah. So, oh God, I might as well tell the story. Okay, so Aaron was a very, very big avid pot smoker. I was like the guy that kind of tried to keep everything together, and then the other two were just, you know, extreme alcoholics. And when we got in to record the album, Steve James said, darling, where's my cup of tea? And cup of tea meant where's his big fucking bag of pot,
right?
And so the first thing that was done on that record was a guy was sent out all around Melbourne, and he came back with this bag of pot like this, like it was I don't know how many ounces was in it, you know, and it sat in a particular spot in the studio, and whenever Steve or Aaron wanted a cup of tea, that's what they
did. Right.
And to the point where there's the third song in on the album, there's this little guitar lick that Aaron plays on a tremolo, and every time that came up, we would go, marijuana, marijuana. And you can hear it on the first part of Geographica. And that, yeah.
It's proof that weed works, man. If you ask me, great record. Heap the deck, man. Now, Clinton, what are your credentials to be making us this cocktail this evening?
I have zero credentials in making cocktails. However, I did start at managing the Matterhorn. Well, I was working in bars for years, and I managed the first version of the Matterhorn in Wellington. Then what did I do? Then Weta went over to Melbourne. I worked in some bars over there, and
as you did.
Then I shifted to Tokyo and ran a cocktail bar in Tokyo.
That would have been quite full on.
Yes, it was full on.
They're serious over there.
Oh, it was very serious. But this was like a gaijin bar. This was like where the Westerners came and hang out. Okay. And so I met Smashing Pumpkins there. I met like...
it was the spot.
I met all these bands, some crazy famous people there. It was like, if you came to party
Bill
in
Murray?
Tokyo, but not Bill Murray, no. Not, I don't even know if I would have recognised him back then, but if you were a gaijin, you were a Westerner, and you came to party in Tokyo, that's the bar that you came to.
What's a Westerner called? A gaijin?
A gaijin, yeah. I think it means foreigner.
Yeah, fair.
I only learnt two words in Japanese. One of them was left, so that I could get home in the taxi, which fucking does not work. Because you just go, dojibu, oh, I can't even remember what it is.
And they're saying the fucking Westerner thing to you?
Yeah, they certainly are.
Gaijin, motherfucker.
So did that, and then I came back to Wellington and opened my first nightclub, which was a nightclub called Good Luck on Cuba Street. Went and did some other stuff with that as well. Had a cafe in Newtown, and then opened the San Francisco Bathhouse. But that was like just over after 2000. So that's kind of what I did after the band. And so I was very lucky to hire some people who were really brilliant at cocktails. Man. So I'm going to make something that's not as good as that.
You've seen it. You've seen a good cocktail being made.
Yeah.
And we're going to perhaps see that now.
Did you rate our selection of liqueurs and aperitivos?
Very good. Did we just
take a picture of what we had lying around, and then you were like,
no,
I can
just
do
came
something
in this afternoon. I was like, this is what we got. Make it work.
Okay.
And just make it work.
So
you might as well start basically constructing. We'll just sort of leave you the floor for a second.
So if anybody who's interested, what there was in that box was a very small bottle of Bacardi, some peach tree peach liqueur that looks like it came out of 1983.
All liqueurs did.
Yeah. Some pressed lime juice that won't have any lime juice in it whatsoever.
Limes are expensive. This is BFM, remember?
Yeah, I'm not complaining. And some Peychaud's aperitivo. Luckily, we've got Minnie here from Warner, and she went and got some lemon and some ice and some soda water so we can maybe make something palatable. So the reason that I grabbed the Bacardi and the peach tree and the lime is because the peach tree is the peach liqueur. It's because there's a thing with cocktails, and it's called the golden ratio.
Yes.
And anybody that's familiar with design will know about the golden ratio, and that's a Fibonacci number.
Proportions.
Oh, Fibonacci sequence.
Yeah, Fibonacci sequence.
Tool,
yeah.
Love it.
Is that where the shell is going around in a circle, and it kind of looks like a banana leaf?
Flowers, yeah. Do it.
I got you.
Your face does it.
We see it in nature.
Time and space and shit.
Yeah, all that stuff, yeah. Yeah, did you know that COVID was a hoax? Did I just say that?
Oh, you want my mic? Here you go.
Total disclaimer. I do not think that at all.
We're drinking, guys. We're drinking.
The golden ratio with drinks is, generally speaking, it's two parts to one. So there's two parts of spirit to one part of sweet, and then it's going to have one part of sour. Mm-hmm. It just basically creates a flavour that's quite quite good to on the mouth. And
we've kind of learnt up here that when in doubt, just add more lime juice.
Oh, really?
More sugar in there. You can save it just by making it incredibly sweet.
So I'm going to make a peach daiquiri.
Oh, peach daiquiri.
Okay, it's got daiquiri in it. Graham, keen.
Yeah, it's got daiquiri. And I'm going to squeeze some fresh lemon into it because I really do believe in fresh ingredients when it comes to almost anything.
Yeah. What, do you have a favourite memory from the San Francisco bathhouse?
I mean, so many.
Great googly eyes, by the way. That's really good when you were just trying to remember. You went into memory face. Oh, shit, that place.
Fat Fruity's Drop. Shapeshifter selling out 3 nights in a row.
What's the capacity?
That's an interesting question. So,
legal and possible.
Yeah, illegal and possible is such different things. One of the memories I have is like getting in there as a young guy thinking that I was, you know, really knew what I was doing with owning bars and just pissing off all of the existing staff so much that, you know, basically 90% of them left. And then we had to pay the bills. That was a pretty good memory. We learned how to do business. So,
dry shake, there's no ice in here. It's just all the liquid.
No, there's ice.
There's a little bit of ice in there. Yeah. Okay. Just like that.
Nice shake.
Smooth shake.
Also, good control of the shaker.
I like how when you're pouring that last bit in, you moved one hand up and the other one down as well. Like, you've seen that done before.
Somebody could have told me I was on Cocktail Confidential in Auckland tonight.
Going into a BFM branded wine glass.
Straining in. Oh, there we go.
It's not the colour I expected.
It's been a long time.
No, it's a guy. I don't really know what I expected, to be honest. But
who wants to try this?
John's always first. John's the canary in the cave.
It's all right. It could be less sweet.
No, that's me then. That's my territory. Wait, you wait. It's going to be perfect.
Getting notes of peach schnapps. Citrus.
That BFM. Sound effect one more time. There you go.
It's good. It's nice and dry.
Yeah.
I don't think it's too sweet.
Yeah. I don't think it's balanced. I don't think it's perfectly balanced, but hey, it's been
a while. It's kind of like a lemonade popsicle.
Oh, now you're being mean.
That means I'm tasting. Does it have the apple?
No, I thought I'd grab this because this is...
That's why it's not the colour I thought. I was like, wait, you put that red stuff in there?
I thought I'd grab this, the Peychaud's aperitivo, because, man, this is one of my favourite products. It's delicious.
Yeah. Do you just want a shot of it? Or?
Yeah, I'd love one.
No, I see where you're getting at with this drink. Definitely is dry, John. Well put.
Now, back to weather. Reissue out tomorrow?
It certainly is, yeah.
12-inch vinyl, pressed in Auckland, New Zealand by Holiday Records?
Correct.
Did you meet vinyl? Go meet the dudes and tell them this is your little baby that you want to press it up nicely on vinyl?
No, I decided to leave it to the experts, actually, because I just know nothing about it. But pressing vinyl is an art form. I did get the test pressings, though, which was really neat. Like, I never thought I'd ever have test pressings in my life.
You know? Yeah, rad.
Yeah. Everybody came up thumbs up straight away with the test pressing. They said, yeah, sounds
fantastic.
What was
it like to listen to Geographica on vinyl for the first time?
Well,
it's weird that they didn't come out on vinyl. I mean, yeah. For me, it's such a massive record. But was it massive at the time, or was it something that's kind of grown over time for a lot of people, would you say?
Well, I feel like it was bigger at the time what it has, but clearly it's grown time. We've done some fantastic stats, and it's been incredible the appetite that there still is for, you know, that sound or this group of individuals playing music. And I think we've come in at number 4 on the rock radio playlists and number 4 in the singles charts. And
I mean, it's such an honest rock and roll record. You know what I mean? It's very no bullshit.
That was Steve James. He was very much like a one take kind of guy.
Cool.
That version of Calling On you just heard, that was the first, I think that was the first drum take that I did. And I know that it was one of the first drum takes I did because I fucked it up in the second in the second verse, and I can hear it every time.
Cracker. Should we hit one more track?
What do you think? Snapshot, Let It Go, Got the Jew, So Far, So Close.
We used to always close our set with Got the Jew, so why don't we have a hoon on that?
Absolute ripper. Oh shit. Oh. Actually, that'll work, and then we'll just play it.
That was Cocktail Corner on 95 BFM.
Computer, I'm faster than the computer.